We do these Ask Me Anything slots once a term. Yeah, people have questions. And I had a really good question for the last one that was so good it needed a whole Sunday, I think, to think about it. Somebody wrote down, how on earth do we hear from God? And that just didn't seem like a 5-minute answer. It isn't really a 15-minute answer either. It's a book or a lifetime. But it is a thing worth spending a little bit of time on. So I said we would do that as soon as there were readings that felt appropriate. And it struck me that Psalm 19 was. The writer of that psalm spoke about how the heavens proclaim the glory of God, that creation is speaking forth, day calls out to day, things about God. The gospel that we'll have shortly references how the gospel writer heard from God. So it struck me as a good week for us to think about how on earth we might hear from God, to get started on that. I don't know how you feel about hearing from God. On the one hand, it's an exciting prospect. On the other hand, a terrifying prospect. I'm not sure how we would feel if the hand of the Lord appeared and started writing on the wall up there. It's an intimidating thing. It speaks of that duality that we have in our faith, that Jesus is our Lord and Master, and yet as near to us as our best friend. It's complicated. But we should, I think, expect to hear from God somehow, either individually or collectively. If we're going to stand later and affirm our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is that person of God that still interacts with the world, that speaks to and through people, amongst other things. So we should be hearing from God some of the time, somehow, whether or not you do. I wondered what you thought of that, and whether or not you had any experiences of hearing from God individually or collectively. I have a couple of stories that will be woven through this short bit of thing that I have to say, but has anybody ever had a sense that that hearing from God is a complicated thing, isn't it? Was it once at a training day with Rowan Williams? He's a pretty holy man, right? And he'd been talking about hearing from God and prayer, and I said, how do you hear from God, Archbishop? And he said he doesn't in that way. Like, there aren't words in his head. He doesn't hear from God. He doesn't see things. He doesn't get text messages or post-it notes. He said he has got used to quietly sitting before God and God gradually rearranging his internal furniture, which I thought was a lovely way of putting it. And it was quite a relief to me, thinking, oh, God, good. It's not like there's some audible message. It would be nice to get an email from the Lord, but even Rowan Williams does not. That said, occasionally some people do. What on earth do we mean by hearing from God? Rather than me just tell you those few experiences and thoughts that I've picked up over the years, I wondered, there must be some of us who have some experiences of ever having had a sense that God had something for them. I wondered what those were. Brenda's got a hand up. We're going to spend a couple of minutes. If you've got a story prepared to share, we would love to hear it.
One of my experiences that has stayed with me was the first time that I was asked to be church warden. And I asked for 3 months to consider and pray, and which I did, and didn't really, still wasn't sure. And then someone said something about, well, there's never been a lady warden in Carveley. Oh, right, okay, maybe it's not for me. And then I had 3 different messages through other people, which I firmly believe was God saying, you know, forget everything else. This is the message. And one was from a gentleman who said, do you know what? I think it's time we had a lady warden. And he didn't know that I was considering it. And then there was a Bible reading that someone quoted to me. Just, again, didn't know I was thinking of standing as warden. And then a third incident, I thought, that's 3 little pointers. And I thought, right, okay, I'll do it, Lord.
That's really interesting. Yeah. So it was through other people.
Through
the Bible. Did any of them at any point say, like, I think God is saying this to you? Were they aware that they were?
No.
No. So they weren't aware they were communicating from
but
God
each,
to you.
Each time it kind of was like a little bit of a between the eyes.
Okay. So that's really interesting. Good. Well, that fits. Nothing heretical there. We're okay with that. Paul, It's good to know that clergy in the room have heard from the Lord occasionally.
Just a kick. Clergy. It really boils down to that last line of that hymn we just sung, the still small voice. And that's quite often when, well, not often, it can be quite a rare thing in the Word of God. But it comes to me, certainly in those times of quiet silence, when I've said all the words of my prayers, all the world wordiness, or asked for things that happen in the world. When all the words are finished, that's usually when God speaks, when God draws me.
What sort of things do you hear from God in that still small voice?
It's mostly be what I've called you to be.
Right. A reassurance, a validation, yeah. A continuous.
Because we do get, even clergy get crises of faith. And I find now it's going back to that first point when I felt called that I realise what I'm meant to be and what God wants me to be.
Okay. A reminder of calling. Interesting.
Yeah.
And it's often, the line in the hymn is still small voice of calm. It often comes with a sense of calm, right?
Yes.
Of peace.
Yeah.
Okay.
Precisely.
Thank you very much, Paul. Anyone else? David, you got a short one?
Yes, it's quite short, is this, but I can't say that I've had a message from God, but I am listening to people out there who are wanting a message from God. And while we're here, we continuously pray for the world. And it's getting a bit singular, really, in relation to all this, where people are being left behind. And many of these people are so suffering that where is God? That's what they're asking for.
Yeah. Anyone else got a moment where they feel they've... Shirley?
I walked into a meeting in a former church, and the vicar was saying, well, if we haven't got a treasurer, then you can't go on. And I sat down and God said to me, you can do this. And I said, but I don't want to. And he said, but I do. So I said, to my amazement, I can do this. And I did for 5 years.
How did God say that to you?
In my head. He just said, you can do this.
Did you like hear words?
My whole body sort of resonated with, don't mess about, you can do this.
Right.
It was weird.
It was the content, not the words, but you just knew.
I just knew.
This was, okay.
So all I right. did.
Thank you very much. I hope there's a lot more stories out there. We got any more? You got one? Go on, Sue. Good. Yeah. We'll cover all the clerics.
Yeah, cover all the clergy, all the old ones. I was just thinking probably the most significant time was actually before I was a Christian. And the Joy Strings had come to sixth form at school. And I'd gone to listen to the Salvation Army group, those of you that are old enough to know. they used to play in the West End and that, there's a band. And it was the first time I'd heard people talk about commitment. And I was interested, and then a friend, another girl, said, come on Sunday, we've got a big youth rally. So I went, and in the afternoon, they were asking people to commit their lives. And I absolutely thought, I do not know what they're talking about, but that is going to be my life. And I had no concept what that meant, but I heard through the things that we sang, through the things people said, it was just pulling, and it beautifully has never stopped. But I came to faith after that. I didn't even know what it was to be a Christian at that point. So it's all sorts of ways, guys.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I hope you have lots more stories. And as I said, we could do this. You can make a book out of this. But I've tried to pull together a few things. So how do people hear from God? And as Paul has said, you know, it's in the quiet. It's when they listen. You know, you often don't hear from God when you're not listening, when you don't stop and try and pay attention and you're just hurtling along. I think occasionally God might break through to people who really need to be told what's what, but he seems mostly not to do that to us. So we have to listen. We heard about creation. I think that's quite common that we read in the psalm about how creation is constantly pouring out this wonderful message of God's awe, which is true. I think there are specific things that sometimes we're spoken to in creation as well. Again, when we're looking. A friend of mine writes a lovely blog, and she'll often go for a walk and just notice, you know, a spider making a web, and it says something to her about a thing that's going on in her life, or this particular leaf or something, because she's paying attention. That's how God speaks to her, which resonates. I remember there was a time when Victoria and I were looking to move house, and we went and we saw this house, and like, it feels kind of right. I'm not sure. What about this? And we'll go for a walk and have a think and a pray. And as we left and walked out onto the park at the back, there was a rainbow just there pointing at the house, which is quite possibly a coincidence. But we didn't necessarily always go for a walk to process things. It was interesting that that happened. And as we did, we had this sense of peace and rightness and going, oh yeah, that it just felt right. So I think creation comes through, again, a combination of coincidence and listening and paying attention. There's a lot in creation. People have talked about worship. It's been in the singing, in the words that are said, in communion. It's people coming up to you at church services. So I'm trying to get us to be a bit closer together when we sit here. There's something about being together that helps with that. But that whole act of worship, we shouldn't be surprised, I don't think, that it's in worship that we hear from God, because it is when we are more likely to be thinking about God and remembering and listening. But our words, the liturgy, the hymns are well crafted to speak of aspects of God that we might forget about, and we're drawn closer to them. Occasionally, I like to think a good sermon might just nudge you at God, whether or not it's the content or not. I've often come away from somebody's sermon going, oh, God was saying this to me. It wasn't anything that they had to say, but God was using it anyway. But worship is often when we hear from God. I had a quote for you here. I forgot to read this. We talk about coincidences a lot, and I argue with my non-Christian friends, which is most of them, about whether or not this was God and that was God. They go, it's just a coincidence. It's not a new thing. Have you heard of Archbishop William Temple? Some of you were alive when he was the Archbishop in the 1940s. But someone leveled that criticism at his about coincidences and faith. And he's known to have responded that, well, when he prayed, coincidences happen, and when he doesn't, they don't. So there is something in that. We've talked about that sense of peace as well, that still small voice of calm. I think most coincidences are coincidences. I don't think God is up there running everybody's lives down to the minutiae like some kind of puppet master. That wouldn't fit with all the suffering we see in the world. It couldn't possibly be true. But I also can't believe God doesn't do anything in the world, that God is up there trying to speak to us more often than not by having us pay attention to those coincidences that he knows are coming, perhaps. But certainly a sense of peace and calm when we notice those coincidences. It's often in worship. We talked about the songs and that, but it might be things like the Monday midday quiet communion service. That's more often where I hear from God. I've noticed that I need it to be quiet. That's really nice. And we have incense and candles. It could be over with the ministry team. You might want to sit and pray with other people and ask God to speak to you. And he does that through people who are ready and practiced at listening to God. So with others. During confession, we mentioned earlier on that you just get nudged like, yeah, you really shouldn't be doing that, or you really should be doing that. And we're quite used to that. It's one of those few little charismatic bits in a relatively non-charismatic church. We still do that. We ask God to nudge us about those things. And I think a good moment of confession, you know it's God when, instead of shame and guilt and feeling awful about something, you feel a sense of conviction, like you shouldn't be doing this, and I love you, and it's going to be okay. That's different. That's a godly thing, if there's peace and calm. It's often in quiet time at small groups, and many of you are in small groups or have been. My favourite thing in my old small group, and I still do it with my current one, but I only meet them a couple of times a year because they're vicars and live miles away. But we will sit and pray for each other one at a time, and then after we've prayed for that person, we put them in the hot seat in the middle, and then we'll sit and be quiet and say, Lord, do you have anything to say to that person today? And very often there's an image or a verse or a thought or a question. It's been lovely. I've told this story before. A friend of mine who's a vicar was leading worship, and we had a time of prayer at the end of church. And while we were praying, I had this unshakable sense that I needed to tell her about a vision I had. I say vision, but it did. It looked like a picture in my head as we were praying of her in a wedding dress under a spotlight. And I thought, I can't go and say that to her because she's single and having a tough time with being single at the minute. And she doesn't want more people telling her she's going to get married. It's complicated. But then I couldn't shake it, and I couldn't shake it, and I kept feeling nudged by God. So I went and said to her, and it came with some words about her being like in the spotlight at church, that God was shining a light on her. And it turns out that that was exactly what she needed to hear. She'd had kind of the other half of that message. She'd had a sense that God was saying something to her about not worrying about getting married and being special to God. I forget how we both phrased it, but she was really reassured. So that was lovely to feel part of speaking to someone, and they'd kind of had the matching bit of it. And it happened in church. It was good. It's hard to get your head around it. And it's interesting that we often believe things other people say. You know, she needed to hear that, not just from God, because you'll dismiss it. God couldn't have that for me. Somebody else coming alongside you is really powerful. God could have just told Brenda that she needed to be a warden, and maybe he was telling her. But there is something wonderfully reassuring about other people saying it, and you can remember that and not shrug it off and go, no, that must have just been me. That must have just been my head. But when other people have been part of it, you've got these conversations and moments that you can reliably go back to as a memory, part of that journey of God speaking to us. Often happens in prayer. I think by definition, if we're hearing from God, well, that's communicating with God. That is prayer. It's often when we feel we hear from God in prayer. Have you heard of the Examen prayer? We're going to talk about another great Jesuit thing, but the Examen is this Jesuit pattern of prayer. At the end of the day, you look back on your day and say, where was God in my day? And you just gradually notice over the unfolding of time, day after day, where were the bits of your day where you felt you were with God, and where were the bits of your day you felt you were not with God? And you can discern a pattern in that. So this looking backwards, it's often easier to see where God was looking backwards. I know Paul talked about this quiet sense of knowing. You get rid of your words, and then after the words comes the sense. And I've often had that quiet sense of peace and calm reassurance. I do remember once, and this story, I'd done all that, and then I had this urge to do something. I needed to make a phone call about something, and I called the people on the other end and said, this is really weird. I was just praying. Should I be talking to you about this? And they said, oh, that sounds about right. And we got into a very powerful conversation for both parts involved. And I suppose it's not surprising that should happen. I'd been praying about something else, but you pray and God says, oh, good, you're listening. Get on with this. That has happened to me, two or three times ever. But that's the sort of thing. It's when we're in prayer that it might happen. Those intercessions that we did just now, I very often find myself being spoken to by God through whoever is leading the prayers. Sometimes in the specific things they say, but sometimes it nudges other bits. I think Vivian has moved me to tears in prayers a number of times, and I know you would say that it wasn't you, it was God, right? That you are prayerful in your prayers. Isn't there something odd that God tells us what to ask him for through each other? He could just... Obviously, he doesn't need us to pray for these things. That's fine. We could just let him get on with it. But somehow he is involved in telling us what to pray to him about. How lovely that he includes us in that. And we've heard from lots of people about... we hear through other people, either through people leading worship, through friends at church telling us things. That's quite common. You'll notice that in the passage that we're going to have in the gospel that's coming up to, that we're going to do in a different way. We're going to hear that the disciples were talking about what Jesus did on this day for many, many years. And that's how the passage ended up in John's gospel. Talking about what had happened over the years reinforced to them that God was at work in it. This togetherness, hearing through and with others, is really important. We need to be really careful with this. If anyone ever comes up to you and says, the Lord said this to you, You want to take that with a pinch of salt, and the kind of people who claim to have heard directly from God and then stand up on a box in the middle of the hedgerow and tell us, you know, they perhaps need to have a word not just with the vicar but with medical professionals. It's a peculiar thing to claim with any certitude, and you need to be careful. If I just wandered around telling my single friends that God had a vision of them getting married, I would do a lot of harm, right? That's not, it's not right or appropriate or helpful. If we have something that we think God might be saying to someone else, that word might is really important. Is God saying this? Might this be helpful? Does that make any sense to you? These things need to be caveated and handled very carefully and checked with other people. You need to say, I think God is saying this. Now, God is saying to us that we should invade Green Gates and take them over with... Well, no, that's not the sort of thing God would say. You check with other Christians and go, no, that doesn't sound like a very godly sort of thing to do. We know who God is. God is love. If God has stuff to say to us, it will be loving. It might be challenging, but it will be somehow uplifting and life-giving. And checking with each other is a great way of finding that out. I think I should be the next church warden, neither a loving or non-loving thing, but do other people think that? Do we trust each other? Do they have a sense of that? That's a good way to check these things. And finally, through the Bible, that last bit that we had in Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. There's this prayer that the way we think and feel will become acceptable to God through the renewing of our mind, through that repentance, that metanoia, that gradual changing. We want to check that the things we think we might be hearing from God are in keeping with who God is, and that we learn that through his word very often, which isn't necessarily just the Bible. Other great Christian writers and thinkers' works might help us. So we're going to try a bit. We're going to try and use the Bible a bit. One of these other great Jesuit traditions is called Lectio Divina, means divine reading. We're going to do a bit now as our gospel reading. It can be complicated. This, with one of the bits we read today, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving my soul. I don't know about you, sometimes I read the law of the Lord and it seems not perfect and does not revive my soul and is a bit boring and I don't understand it. Right, depending on which bit it is, if you're halfway through Numbers or a complicated psalm. But often it is, and especially if we do it together. This Lectio Divina thing is wonderful. And this is a really simple way. So we're going to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. No, come back to that. That was fine. And we're going to do it this way. The Lectio Divina process was on there. And I'm going to expect God to speak to some of us somehow through this, possibly with a sense of peace, possibly with a sense of conviction, possibly with something specific. So we're going to clear our minds in a moment and pray and invite God to speak to us. Then we're going to listen to the passage. Some people like to imagine themselves, close your eyes, and think, what would it be like if I had really been there? What would this have looked and smelled like? And I've printed it out. You might want to close your eyes. You might want to read it. I've got it with pictures because we're doing this with the little ones at the next one as well. So you might want to do that. You might want to just let it wash over you and some word or phrase will stand out. Maybe God is nudging you. Maybe it's just you. Well, that's not to say that those are necessarily different things. So we're going to read this twice. I will do the reading for you. This is a nice way to do it in a group, to have someone read it. If you're going to do this at a small group, you might want to take it in turns to do the reading. Have I given you enough there? Possibly not. So that everybody gets to have a listen to it, which is nice. So we're going to hear it twice after a pause, and then afterwards ask God to show you what's going on. Is there something? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You know? And then, if there's something that comes out of this, you go, I just feel this. Write it down, or tell someone, capture it, because we lie to ourselves. We go, no, there was nothing going on there. No, it was just me. I was making it up. But if we've shared it, we give ourselves something we can come back to and test and such. So, does that make sense? It's two behind you. Oh, one behind you. Sarah's got one. One for you, one for me. I need to get one up to David. So, yes, please. So if you don't mind, we're going to do this. If you do mind, we're going to do it anyway, and you can just sit there and be quiet for have a little nap. But shall we pray before we start? Heavenly Father, would you speak to us today? Would you help us to hear you? Would you help us to quiet our minds and notice what you might have for us in this passage from your word? I'll read the passage for the first time and then we'll pause. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifice. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. Jesus made a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and cattle, scattered the money changers' coins over the floor, and turned over their tables. And then going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." Then his disciples remembered this prophecy from scriptures. "Passion for God's house will consume me." But the Jewish leaders demanded, "What are you doing? If God gave you authority to do this, show us a miraculous sign to prove it." "All right," Jesus replied, "destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." "What?" they exclaimed. "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you can rebuild it in 3 days. But when Jesus said this temple, he meant his own body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered he had said this, and they believed both the scriptures and what Jesus had said. We hear it for a second time. See if there is something that God is making stand out or make clear to you. Perhaps a question for you. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle and sheep and doves for sacrifices. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. Jesus made a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and cattle, scattered the money changers' coins over the floor, and turned over their tables. Then going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." Then his disciples remembered this prophecy from scriptures, "Passion for God's house will consume me." But the Jewish leaders demanded, "What are you doing? If God gave you authority to do this, show us a miraculous sign to prove it." "All right," Jesus replied, "destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." "What?" they exclaimed. "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you can rebuild it in 3 days." But when Jesus said this temple, he meant his own body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered he had said this, and they believed both the scriptures and what Jesus has said. Have a moment of quiet for God to speak to us. I wonder if there is something that is on your heart, something new or something old and reassuring that you are being reminded of. Usually, I leave that to me, but does anybody have anything that they feel or sense and would be comfortable sharing? It doesn't have to be a grand thing, right? It's often not the Lord is saying this to me, but a quiet sense or a reminder of something that will be helpful to you. For me, it was that thought of Jesus being angry about something, and I forget that he might be. I don't think he's angry with people, but he's angry about what they do sometimes. I perhaps need to pay a bit more attention to that this week. What is God cross about? I'm not comfortable with that, and I think that's okay.
I suppose in the light of what I just said, but also because we all face our own future, and have we the strength to live the seasons of our lives? But it was God just saying, "It's okay, keep going. Keep going, it'll be fine, all will be well."
And it's just that heartfelt thing, isn't it? In the very depth of your being, that your very self is okay with God. It's enough, and He loves us. And
that's not very directly related to the text.
No, not at all.
But in reading some scripture and praying and opening yourself to God, there's a sense of reassurance.
Mm. Yeah, and I think the text did play a role because it's the clearing away of the rubbish.
Okay.
Do you see what I mean?
It feels metaphorical.
It builds up, doesn't it? And your soul is a bit more distant from God because of the busyness, the clearing out the temple.
Okay.
And as you clear out, my soul sits more comfortably in God.
Oh, that's lovely. It's like God's given you your own little sermon, right? Mm. I would never have picked that up if I was just preaching on the passage, but this sense of clearing out the tables, getting rid of the rubbish that's getting in the way between you and God in the temple imagery there. I don't know if you have felt comfortable with all this. Let's hear one more and then we'll wrap this up.
I feel the passage is about the misuse of holy places. I read in the papers that there are cathedrals that have all sorts of silly things going on, which I believe are misusing holy places.
Ripon Cathedral had a wedding venue, so you could go and...
Yeah. Okay.
So are we then right to throw out those people that are misusing our holy places? Wow. If we follow what Jesus did then.
That would be an interesting, and you'd have to have a careful conversation, because clearly there are Christian people in those places who believe that is the right thing to do, and it's going to be a very interesting bit of discernment.
That is my problem, because there are deans of cathedrals, there are even bishops among them, who think that is a way forward, and I believe that it is misusing holy places.
Right, okay. Yep. I look forward to our conversation about the beer festival.
Well, I might well ask that question.
Yeah. When that's always an interesting thing, though. I think it's an interesting point, because that's not... The people with whom you're taking issue clearly believe they're doing the right thing and have heard from God about this. So when Christians have different opinions about something, it's not written down very clearly, don't have wedding fairs. So when they disagree, how do we do that with each other gently, carefully and respectfully, and always accepting, I might not be the one who's right here, you want to both come to it like that. That's really hard. That's a good question. Are they just doing it from the money, Vivian says? And is that a problem because somebody's got to keep the cathedral open? I don't know. It's interesting. I don't want to unpack that now. I don't want to answer that now. But it's good that we've raised those questions. So those are things that every place of worship will need to think about. I'm not cancelling the beer festival yet, Jonathan. But we should take that seriously. I hope you've picked something up from this. You can take your little sheets of paper away. I don't expect you to all have something to say for me. I trust that God still speaks to us through prayer, through nature, but often through scripture. And this is a really good way of doing it. If you're in a small group, have a go at that this week with some other, often a gospel passage. They're really helpful. But try and bring yourself to expect that God will have something to say to us some of the time. I'm going to move us on because we're short of time. You got something else to tell me, David? Can you tell me, we've run a bit over, so...
I find this very difficult to find that Jesus goes about this way.
It's difficult, isn't it? And yet, there it is. It's good for us to be...
It says there, at the moment, we're suffering as Christians, and their churches are being burned out.
David, we're running over, so do tell me, and we'll maybe come back to this when we're doing the notices, but we need to move on to the next bit. But I think it's good for us to be challenged sometimes, and we go, I forgot God was also like this, that we've put God in a box.